to all of you. And just to introduce myself, for those of you who I've not met, my name is Mark, and my lovely wife, Sharon, is at the back as well. And Sharon's a nurse. I have been in business for 25 years, and at the moment we're undertaking studies up at Regent's Theological College, which is 2 minutes up the road. And we've also been involved in missionary work for quite a number of years. So very nice to meet you this morning if I haven't, and if I have, good morning. So this morning I'd like to turn just straight away to Psalm 11, which is what I'm going to be speaking on this morning. Psalm 11. We'll read all the psalm together. It's seven verses in total. I say together, but I'll read it for you. You can join in. So, Psalm 11. In the Lord I take refuge. This is David speaking. How then can you say to me, it seems to be now he's quite astonished at what some people are saying, more than likely his advisors, his counselors. There's disputes about this, but more than likely his counselors. And this is what they're saying to him. Flee like a bird to your mountain, for look, the wicked bend their bows, they set their arrows against the strings to shoot from the shadows at the upright in heart. And then they ask this question, which, if it is there, the advisors of David, is quite a despairing question. When the foundations are being destroyed, what can the righteous do? This seems to be David's reply in verse 4. The Lord is in his holy temple. The Lord is on his heavenly throne. He observes everyone on earth. His eyes examine them. The Lord examines the righteous, but the wicked, those who love violence, he hates with a passion. And on the wicked, he will rain fiery coals and burning sulfur. A scorching wind will be their lot. For the Lord is righteous. He loves justice, and the upright will see his face. Jeff, this morning when he was praying, he was referring in his prayer to trouble. And trouble comes in all shapes and in all sizes, doesn't it? Sometimes it hits us hard. Sometimes it simply wears us down. And whatever form it takes, it can begin to fill our thoughts. It can begin to consume our mind until it's almost all that we can actually see before us is the trouble. And maybe that's you this morning. And if it is, Psalm 11 is for you. Because it raises, in these verses I'm going to speak about, I'm going to speak between verses 1 to verses 4, it raises two very, very important questions. The first question is, in times of trouble, where can you run for safety? The second question is, in times of trouble, where do you look for hope? And don't all of us want safety? And all of us want hope. And we're going to stay within those first four verses in Psalm 11 and see how David answers these two questions. So let's begin with the first. When you face trouble, you need a refuge. When trouble comes, we all wish it didn't, but it does. Ultimately, what are you trusting in? Look at the very first words that David gives us in the opening of this psalm. In the Lord, I take refuge. Notice where David begins. He doesn't begin with the danger. It's all around him. He doesn't note his options of all the decisions he could make. And he doesn't begin with the advice of his counselors. Before we know anything about the threat that David is facing, we already know where David has run to. In the Lord, David said, I take refuge. So what does he mean by taking refuge? Well, in that ancient world, it's a very concrete picture. To take refuge meant turning from some kind of physical danger and taking and seeking shelter somewhere. That could be a mountain stronghold. It could be some kind of fortified place, what we would call a castle nowadays. It could be anywhere that offered protection. What David does, he takes that physical picture of refuge and he says, that's what the Lord is to me. He's my refuge. In other words, David is saying, I'm running to the Lord for my safety. I'm entrusting my life to him. I'm placing the weight of my trust fully upon him. And that's what faith looks like. And David, as we can see in the psalm, my goodness, does he need a refuge? He is surrounded by a real danger. And what is this danger that he's facing? And the answer comes, as we read already, in the advice that's been given to him, most likely by his own advisors. They speak of the wicked having bows, lurking in the shadows, bending the bows and having the arrows perched on the string, just ready to fire. It's like the old-fashioned Wild West movies where the gun has been cocked and it's pointed right at you. This is the position for David. And the counselors of David, the advisors of David, when they see all of this, their argument is very simple. David, the danger is immediate. The attackers are hidden and ready, and the structures of justice and order are crumbling and breaking down everywhere. Flee. I want you to notice a particular tension here. David has already taken refuge in the Lord. Already. But the danger hasn't disappeared. The arrows are still drawn, and the threat is still real and alive. You see, taking refuge in the Lord hasn't made the danger disappear. Sometimes God does do that. Sometimes God wonderfully and so graciously steps in and sweeps it away, but not always, and not for David here. And so, when you think about it, the advice of his counselors sounds reasonable. Just picture the scene. They're pointing towards a mountain, a fortified location somewhere. There, David. There's your refuge. There's your place of safety. Go, flee, run. And let me say, a mountain so often was a perfectly sensible place to flee. There's no question about that. And sometimes wisdom means we move to safety. Sometimes wisdom dictates to us we seek help. But that's not the issue in Psalm 11. The issue isn't whether David should move somewhere else. The issue is where David places his trust. And David's already answered that. In the Lord, I take refuge. Just imagine this morning that your in a small boat, caught in stormy seas. The winds are blowing, the waves are rising high, and you turn your boat toward the harbor. The harbor doesn't stop the storm. It gives you somewhere secure while the storm goes on. David says, "In the Lord, I take refuge." The danger is still all around him. But now we know where his confidence rests. And let me ask you this morning, when troubles come to your life, maybe arrows of slander are fired at you, where do you run? When people seem to work against you, where do you turn? When your security just feels to be shaken, where does your trust rest? In other words, what becomes your mountain? Maybe this morning it's the person that you always go to that you just know they can fix that problem for you. Maybe it's the plan that you're just able to put in place to get everything back in control again. Maybe it's the resources that you can use to make you feel secure. And those things may help. They sometimes actually may be exactly the help you need in that moment. But they cannot become your ultimate refuge. So, how do we take refuge in God? And Psalm 62 gives us two very beautiful, very simple responses. I don't know if you're like me, I love simple things. And Psalm 62 and verse 8 says this. 62 and verse 8. Trust in him at all times, you people. Pour out your hearts to him. For God, God is our refuge. So notice those two things. Trust him. Trust him with what you cannot see. Trust him with what you cannot control. And pour out your hearts to him. Friends, tell him everything. Tell him everything that has happened. Tell him everything that you're carrying. Tell him all of the burden that nobody else, maybe even the nearest and dearest to you, can see. Tell him. Pour out your hearts to him. You don't have to pretend that you're strong. Pour out what you're carrying and trust him with what you cannot carry. Do you know, there was a time in my life where it was like a sudden blast from every side came around me. It was like everywhere that I looked, I was just faced with what I can only describe as storms, and there was no escaping from them. And I remember just deep down inside crying out to Christ, crying out in my need. Isn't it amazing how that's what troubles do, is they bring us to our knees, they cause us to look up. I remember many years ago somebody saying that when you find yourself on your back with nowhere else to look, well, you can look up. And I was on my back on this occasion. And I poured out my heart to the Lord. I'd cried out to him. And one day, it's as though I saw Christ coming to me. And he came as the shepherd. And it was as though I saw him holding a staff. And he didn't speak to me, but somehow he indicated to me. And it was interesting what Trudy said earlier, that he indicated to me to go down on one knee, metaphorically speaking, into a posture just of submission. And I could feel, as he was speaking to me, it was like his staff, the rod, that kind of wooden rod of the shepherd, was stretched out and it rested on my shoulder as I, metaphorically speaking, went down on one knee. And he said to me, "Stay there, Mark. Stay there. Don't defend yourself. Don't use your own resources in this situation. Don't deploy your own experience and tactics and knowledge of you know how to maybe get through these situations. Don't do any of that. Lay all of that down and trust me." And like I said, there's a time where God does use and deploy our experience and knowledge and strategy and all of this. But he said to me, "Mark, lay it all down." And let me tell you something. It was a stormy, horrendous time. The storm didn't stop. But I tell you this, and these aren't just platitudes. Christ stayed faithful. He brought me through that storm. And I stayed, by the grace of God, I stayed in that posture of submission to the shepherd. Just remember here, David's danger hasn't gone away. And so, what gives him such confidence? Well, we can probably guess the answer already, can't we? What gives him such confidence? What does David see? That those around him, his advisors, his counselors, maybe, you know, his trusted friends are not seeing. Isn't it amazing how even your trusted friends can give sometimes the worst advice? I'm not saying anybody's ever experienced that here. But David experiences this, it seems. What is it that David sees that his advisors are missing? And that's where the psalm turns our eyes to my second point, my final point. When you face trouble, you need the right perspective. What you can see around you, my goodness, it's real, it's visceral, but it's not all that there is to see. Listen to verse 3, verse 4 together. Verse 3, the advisors at the end, finishing with their note of despair. When the foundations are being destroyed, what can the righteous do? And David's response in verse 4, the Lord is in his holy temple. The Lord is on his heavenly throne. Can you hear, can you see the contrast there? The advisors are asking despairingly, what can the righteous do? What can we do here? And David's answer is fascinating. He doesn't offer a plan. He doesn't suggest a strategy. He answers with what is true about God. The Lord is in his holy temple. The Lord is on his heavenly throne. That's David's answer. And the contrast here turns on where everyone is looking in this psalm. The advisors, they're looking down, they're looking around, everything crumbling. To the left and to the right and to the north and the south of them. David looks up by faith to the throne of God. And in verse 3, this word foundation seemed to be speaking of the things that kind of holds public life together. They're crumbling. Law, justice, settled order. To these advisors of David, those supports, those foundations are breaking down. Violence seems to be winning. The normal restraints are failing. Everything around them looks unstable. And they're not imagining this. The chaos is real. Their problem, these advisors' problem, is not they're seeing something false. Their problem is they aren't seeing the full picture. The Lord is missing from their vision. Just count. Next time you read Psalm 11, how many times David mentions the Lord? It's all over the place. And how many times his advisors do? Not once. The Lord is missing from their vision. So just imagine that you are looking into a room through a keyhole. We've all done that maybe at some time in our life, maybe when we were younger, maybe not as much when we're older, I don't know. But what you see through that keyhole is real. You can describe it. You can describe it accurately. But you're only seeing a part of that whole room. And you can be right, completely right, about what you see, but still only seeing part of the whole picture. That's David's advisors. The whole view for David's advisors is filled with crisis. But David sees something more. The Lord is in his holy temple. The Lord is on his heavenly throne. David looks up. And now feel just for a moment the force of what David sees by faith. The throne is still occupied. It isn't empty. The king is still there. He hasn't fled. And his rule is unshaken. Hasn't failed. Everything down below seems to be giving way, but God's throne hasn't moved. And this morning, friends, that matters so much in the world you're living in, and I'm living in, and in your life, and in my life, because God sees this morning what you are going through. And he is still Lord over it. And your trouble doesn't get to have the final say. Let me tell you that this morning. There is a throne. There is a throne. And this is where faith comes in. Faith doesn't deny the darkness that surrounds us. We're not going around triumphant and saying, oh yes, glory, hallelujah, everything's fine in our life and in the world. Oh no, we face the reality of the darkness around us. But in the darkness, hold on, friends, hold on to what is true about God. John Calvin, very famous Christian, was commenting on this exact verse. And he described faith as learning to borrow light from heaven when we are surrounded in this world with darkness on every side. That's what David is doing. He doesn't pretend the darkness isn't there. He doesn't let the darkness define God. By faith, he holds on to what he knows is true. The Lord is on his holy throne. I think many of us here have been up to the skies at some point. I presume maybe not paragliding or bungee jumping or anything like that. Most of us in flights and in planes, and we probably come across this scene where you're taking off in a plane in the pouring rain. Sharon and I used to live in Scotland, which was, out of the 365 days a year, was probably 360 days a year where we lived of rain. And you would take off from Glasgow Airport. The sky would be grey. The cloud is thick. Nothing above you but bad weather. And then the aircraft climbs, and it climbs, and it climbs, and it climbs through the clouds. And suddenly, there is the sunshine. The sun didn't suddenly appear. It had been there the whole time. The whole time. And the storm underneath hasn't disappeared either. That's still there. It's still raining. The clouds are still beneath. David's trouble is real. His trouble, your trouble, isn't the whole reality. God is still on his throne. So let me make this personal as I come to close this morning. What this morning is filling your field of vision? That's a good technical term, isn't it? The field of vision. So you get binoculars and you have a field. There's so much you can see. What this morning is filling your field of vision? Maybe a situation you can't change. A fear that you just cannot seem to shake. Or something that, as I said in the beginning, has just consumed your thoughts day after day. And maybe you've looked at that trouble for so long, so long, that it's even now beginning to shape and distort how you see God. How you see God. And that's where David comes to your help this morning, to my help this morning. We don't deny what's happening below. We don't deny what's happening in our families, in our lives, in the places where we work. We don't pretend the problem isn't real. It doesn't hurt. Everything is just fine. But what we don't do is we don't forget the reality above it all. The Lord is still on his holy throne. So when something troubling begins to fill your whole horizon, let me encourage you this morning, name it honestly. See it and name it and bring it before God. And then remind yourself that God hasn't changed. How do you do that? Tomorrow morning. Tomorrow morning. It's Monday morning. Open your Bible. Maybe read these verses again. Psalm 11. Slowly, prayerfully. Lord, what are you saying to me? Linger over them and what they tell you about God and make it a prayer. Lord, this is what I see. This is the trouble that's filling my horizon. But you haven't changed. You're still on throne. C.S. Lewis, who said, I believe in Christianity as I believe that the sun has risen. Not only because I see it, the sun, but because by it I see everything else. And that's the change of perspective that we're talking about. We don't simply look at God through our circumstances. We learn to look at our circumstances in the light of who God is. I'm going to finish with a short illustration of a young 16-year-old boy who survived a shipwreck. And through the darkness of the night, he had clung to this rock protruding out of the ocean while the sea battered around him. And eventually, he was saved and he was rescued and he was brought onto the ship and he was asked the question, weren't you frightened? Weren't you shaken? And the boy turned around. He said, of course I was shaking. He said, I was shaking all night. But the rock never shook once. So this week, when trouble comes, when fear begins to rise and the foundations begin to shake, when trouble fills your field of vision, remember Psalm 11. Remember Psalm 11. Run to the Lord. He is your refuge. And look up. Look up. He is still on his throne.